Today is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, Psalm 136, verses 1 through 9, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 45 through 56. Today's message is titled, An Early Morning Walk. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Here ends our first reading from Scripture. Our second reading from Scripture is Psalm 136, beginning at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To Him alone who does great wonders, His love endures forever. Who by His understanding made the heavens, His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, His love endures forever. Who made the great lights, His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, His love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the nights. His love endures forever. Here ends our second lesson scripture, the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to Bethsaida, while He dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, He went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and He was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, He went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw Him walking on the lake, they thought He was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw Him and were terrified. Immediately He spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then He climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood what the loaves They did not understand about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard He was. And wherever He went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged Him to let them touch even the edge of His cloak. And all who touched were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praying that prayer of faith rooted through the years of over 1,600 years. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. Just the other day, I was sitting on the dock at my brother's home with a radio-controlled transmitter in my hand, guiding a radio-controlled sailboat, watching the sailboat silently slice through the water in the morning breeze as the sailboat was tacking back and forth to go upwind, sitting there paying attention and to the boat and dangling my feet in the refreshing water of the lake. My thoughts hearkened back to numerous childhood memories of in the Minnesota lake region. My grandparents had a little cottage on a lake called Ottertail Lake, and just a couple cottages down, my uncle and aunt had a place on Ottertail too. And for a couple of summers in a row, my mom and her siblings would gather at the lake, bringing all the kids, all the cousins at this time. It was wonderful. One summer, I was about 8 years old. My uncles, my aunts, my cousins were there. There were so many of us there at that one time. The garage that was behind my uncle's cabin was just packed with beds. Packed in any way they could get enough beds in there, for there's more than 10 of us that would be sleeping in the cabin. And those who were too young to sleep in the cabin, they were infants still in diapers, they were in cabin with grandma and grandpa with their moms. And then my other cousins, whose cabin it was in front, they had their own bedrooms, so they're in their bedrooms. But the rest of us were packed into that back garage area, beds going all sort of different ways. I got pictures from those days and all that. I mean, it was more fun than grandma's feather bed that John Denver sings about. Being by the water, being in the water, being on the water, and then at night playing hide and seek and kick the can into all hours late at night, during the day water skiing. And as I said earlier, I was about 8 years old, and my uncle, my dad, my mom's older brother said, you know, it's time for you to learn to water ski. So they brought out the old wooden, that was days of wooden water skis, the water skis for starting to water skiing. I was 8 years old. My uncle, he brought his boat over from Clearwater Lake and says, come on, time to water skis. My cousins were saying, time to water ski, learn to ski. The first time I got up and I went just a little bit and then I fell. And then I got pulled under the water. And I was pulled under the water until I let go of the thing. No one told me you let go of the rope when you fall. They had told me hold tight to the rope. That's how you get started. But they never told me let go. Well, after a few encouraging words and shaking the water out of my nose and out of my throat, I got back up again and soon underway again. It was a lot of fun being up on those skis. Next time I was up and around a couple more times on those old wooden skis. Times at Ottertail Lake were followed by times at Gull Lake, and there's times at Horseshoe Lake and Clearwater Lake. Other summers came and gone through the years, all through my growing up years. It was not summer without a trip to a Minnesota lake and time on the water. Boating, skiing, learning to slalom ski, wiping out and doing so after dropping the ski and trying to figure out, okay, how do you get your foot in that back ski and then start in that slalom? But once you got that slalom going, it was fun. There's just something special about being on a lake. It's relaxing, it's refreshing, it's rejuvenating, heading to the cabin on the lake. Perhaps you've experienced times like that too. Kaiser Lake, Indian Lake, C.J. Brown Reservoir, or take the time to travel up to Lake Erie, or head down to Caesar's Creek, or even farther north to some of the other great lakes. How many here have just enjoyed getting away and getting on the water? There's just something special about being on a lake. I mean, what's the draw of going on an ocean cruise but to be on the water? Have you experienced the desire just to get out and be on the water? Fond memories of out of my brother's place on my kayak out on the lake these past couple of days. I would just sit out there and watch and let the water come rocking me by. I'd wait for the larger wakes from the boats, because the latest thing is wakeboarding, you know, surfing from the boat wake of the boat. And so they get those boats to way down, way far back. The boats are only going about 10 miles an hour, but boy, they're generating some huge wakes. So I'd sit out there in my kayak just waiting for those larger wakes to come going. But one morning, the water was glassy smooth. It was smooth as a mirror, the water was. And so we paddled our boats. We got in my brother's kayaks too. And we went around the whole perimeter of the lake. And then watching wind and the boats and the wake of the boats just awaken the lake to be a little more turbulent from its calm. On larger lakes, the sky, that joy of the moment, in an instant, when the weather turns, that water can turn to terror. As the wind buffets, the sky turns into tumbling clouds with bursts of rain and thunderclaps and lightning streaking across the sky, sometimes striking down. Don't want to be on the water as the weather turns, because we forget sometimes about the power of water and the destruction of waves pounding after pounding after pounding, waves strike, shores eroding, ships going down, such as the Edmund Fitzgerald, of which Gordon Lightfoot sings about. The beauty of the water, the moon casting a trail across the shimmering ripples to the ferocity of a storm. The water still draws us. It draws us. Can you imagine yourself on the Sea of Galilee? It's the lowest freshwater lake on earth, the second lowest lake of all on earth. Sea of Galilee, 680 feet below sea level. Only the Dead Sea is farther below sea level. The lake is 13 miles by 7 miles. And Jesus traveled around the lake and across that Sea of Galilee many, many times, delivering sermons, performing miracles, doing wonders and healings. And the lake is surrounded by hills, by mountains that rise up to 2,000 feet. And so by the shape of the lake and the shape of the hills and mountains around it, storms can come rushing in and fiercely turn that water, suddenly becoming a raging, violent storm. It's like storms that can arise in a rage on Lake Erie with that driving violent winds so powerful even a 1,000-foot tanker cannot withstand the power of the waves. And the Sea of Galilee responds like the Lake Erie. Both are only about 200 feet deep. Even though Lake Erie is hundreds of times bigger than the Sea of Galilee, the way the waves get stirred up and stormed up, the Sea of Galilee and Lake Erie can be compared. And Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go out. You don't want to get caught in a storm. Any boat is at risk. Jesus sent his disciples out upon the lake, the Sea of Galilee, this night after witnessing the feeding of the 5,000 men and the gathering of the 12 baskets of fish and bread leftovers. It's written in Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. The Greek begins there, kai athous. That characteristic fast movement of Mark's gospel, kai athous, and immediately Jesus compelled. That means he said, get in the boat and go. They had no choice. Get in the boat and go. Jesus sent the disciples out onto the water without him. To head across the waters, just a short little trip across the waters to Bethsaida. And he, Jesus, would dismiss the crowds. The crowd, after having been satisfied, they're hanging around to be satisfied again and again. It makes sense. Jesus fed us once. Maybe there's more to come. Jesus sends the crowd. It's time to leave. Go away. There's no more coming in this remote place. He sends the crowd, go home. John's gospel account adds to this event, giving the indication that because the crowd was so satisfied, they wanted to come and make Jesus king. Make him king by force. He took care of their needs. Let's make him king so he'll continue taking care of all our needs. Isn't that what's happening today? Take care of my needs. I'll put you in power. Take care of my needs, all my needs. Similar situation as what's happening today. Take care of all of my needs. Jesus says, no, go home. He tells him to go. And then he turns and he leaves. He goes off alone by himself. Jesus goes alone farther up into the mountains to be by himself and pray. Remember how the day began? How Mark chapter 6 began? Jesus wanted to get away. Now he's just doing that. He's just getting to that. He wanted to get away and be alone. Get away by himself to pray. The Greek word here about getting away to pray literally means to interact with the Lord by switching human wishes, human ideas, human desires for the Lord's wishes. The Lord's ideas, the Lord impacting and imparting faith. That faith, that divine persuasion, which is in faith. That's what the Greek word translated as pray here means, is your desires, your wants are now being displaced with the Lord's desires, the Lord's plan, the Lord's will, as the Lord is now putting into you that persuasion of the divine, which is faith. That divine persuasion which becomes faith. So Jesus is praying by himself. He went alone to be with the Lord for that imparting that comes from interacting with his Father. That intimacy of prayer is available to us as we enter into prayer. Not to tell the Father what he must do, but to receive that persuasion of faith that the Father bestows on us. His will be done, and we will walk by faith. That's the power of prayer. As Jesus is in prayer, from the vantage point of being high up in the hills in that mountain, he can look over the lake, and he sees the disciples in the boat struggling against the wind. Mark chapter 6, verse 48, the first portion. Jesus, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. The wind was against him. It's a very interesting wording chosen by Mark here. The word really means torture, a tormenting trial. The wind was torture to them, a tormenting trial to them. Most of the night had passed, and they were making very little headway against this wind that was tormenting them, torturing them with a trial, with struggling with the oars and rowing hours on end. Jesus sees their struggles, and he goes down to them. Walking, climbing, coming back down from his solitary place on the mountain of prayer, he now is at the water's edge. You get the picture. Jesus is there at the water's edge. No boat, no means of getting to the disciples out in the middle of the lake. The disciples being blown off course by that short passage they tried to go to with the wind tormenting them. They were blown out into the middle of the lake. And now those waves, stirred by the winds, are coming ashore where Jesus is standing. And he's standing, and then he starts walking. From the shore, he's just walking. These waves that were crashing under the shore, they were no hindrance to him.
He, in fact, he was making better time walking on the water than all the disciples throwing their whole backs into the oars trying to row the boat against the wind and the waves. Jesus, the way it's sort of phrased, was casually walking along, calmly walking along. Despite the wind, despite the waves, Jesus was unhindered by them, and he just strolled along step after step, making easy progress across the waters. Jesus was planning to pass them by, to walk by them. He came up close enough to sort of check on them, but he was planning to stroll on by. But that coming close enough to check on them, he was going to keep going until they saw him. And they shrieked in terror. Wouldn't you shriek in terror if you're out in the middle of the water and you see something, someone walking on the water? I mean, what would come to your mind? To their mind, they go, a ghost, a phantasm. Maybe you'd come to mind, it's the Grim Reaper coming to get you. I mean, what would your imagination do? Where would your imagination go at the sight of a man walking on the water in the middle of the lake with the winds against you and you're terrified as you're roaring? What would come to your mind? They were terrified. Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 49. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Jesus calms their fear. Take courage. What it really means is be filled from within with courage. Then Jesus says, ego eimi, ego eimi. Here it is translated in verse 50 as, it is I. But ego eimi is much more than simply, it is I. Ego eimi means, I am. I am. And it's a direct reference to Jesus' own divinity. The breaking of the bread and the breaking of the fish, feeding the multitudes, and the gathering of the 12 baskets full of leftovers was directly showing the divinity of Jesus, that creative power that is in Christ. Now, with the demonstration of walking on the water, which defies all naturalistic explanations, you now have the words being spoken, I am. You see his action of walking on the water. And now he says, I am. To the Hebrew ears, and now to your ears, ego eimi, I am, resonates with resounding power. I am. The way the Lord revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. That is what Jesus has now done to the disciples in that boat in the midst of their struggles. He revealed himself as I am. Just as the Lord revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, I am. Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. The very presence of the Lord God is here. On that water, walking beside that boat. And Jesus says, take courage. From deep inside, be filled with courage. Fear not. Why? Because I am. The very living God is right there with you in the midst of the storm. In the midst of the storms of life, the very presence of the Lord God is with us. Take courage. Fear not. Why? Jesus is I am. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. The Lord does not take you out of the storms of life. Rather, the Lord enters into the storms of your life to be with you in the storms of your life and to see you safely to the other side. Mark chapter 6, verse 51. Then he climbed into the boat. That's Jesus. Then Jesus climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. Jesus gets in with them, and the storm dies down. It ceases raging in a manner that is not natural, with the waves slowly coming to a calm. No, the storm abates. The storm is gone. And in exceedingly abundance in themselves, they were amazed. That's the translation from the Greek. And in exceedingly abundance in themselves, they were amazed. Mark had to use many words here to show how utterly amazed the disciples were. They were amazed beyond description. What about you? If you were in the boat and all of a sudden Jesus gets in and that storm that you were breaking your backs trying to make headway into is now gone. Just as the I Am stepped into the boat. Exceedingly amazed, utterly amazed. Jesus gets into the boat and poof, the storm is gone. The wind ceases, the waves, they're calmed. All the raging has ceased instantly, and there's calm. And the disciples were amazed, for they had so quickly forgotten the 5 loaves, 2 fish, the 12 basketfuls of leftovers. The disciples were just unable to grasp the significance of what had just taken place earlier that day. Those signs, those wonders, the disciples were unable to grasp that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God, the Lord, the incarnate Lord was there with them. And how quickly do we also forget when we have those same kind of feelings come by? Jesus, where are you? What have you done for me today? Forgetting about all those wonders. What have you done for me in the last 5 minutes? What about the wonders of the last 5 years or the wonders in the last 50 years? Instead of grasp the significance of the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, the 12 basketful of leftovers, grasp the wondrous walking on the water. This Jesus is divine. This Jesus is the Lord. Grasp, Jesus is the divine incarnate Lord, very God of very God. And be filled with courage. I Am is with you. Don't be afraid. Take hold of that constant reminder through Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. All through Psalm 136, that refrain, His love endures forever. All through the psalm, the reminder, His love endures forever. It explodes from in praise from the psalmist's hearts. In likewise fashion, the apostle Paul, through his imprisonments and his sufferings, he proclaims boldly. It's written in Ephesians chapter 3, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. In his sufferings, in all his change, in all his imprisonments, Paul is boldly proclaiming about the width, the depth, the height, the wonders of the fullness of the love of God. And wants you to know that too. The love of God does not remove you from the problems of life. The love of God enters in and shares with you all the burdens of life. As Jesus said to the disciples struggling in the boat, "Have courage. I am. Fear not."
The Apostle Paul was driven to praise in his letter to the Ephesians when those thoughts came to him about the wonder of God's love. Paul is driven to worship. And so he writes, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 20, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." An early morning walk in the water reveals the divinity of Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and is just as assuredly as the 5 loaves and the 2 fish fed the multitude with 12 baskets full of leftovers, just as assuredly as this early morning walk in the water actually occurred in Christ crucified and risen, your sins are forgiven. For Jesus Christ is the Lord Almighty. Jesus is Lord over all creation of earth and sky. So sometime later today or later this week, head over to the water up at the reservoir. Sit on the hill so you can imagine yourself being on the hills above the Sea of Galilee. Then in that solitude by yourself in prayer, worship. Worship the wonder of God's great love for you in the forgiveness of sins and in life everlasting. His great love for you that He enters into all the problems of life to be with you. Your faith. In faith's eye, imagine Jesus walking on the water, and then you'll know it will be okay. He'll see you through whatever's going on in your life. He will see you through to the other side because He's Lord, He's Creator, He's Redeemer, He's the Son of God, He's Christ, He's very God of very God. Worship the wonder of it all. Amen and amen.